Hey there, EB5 listener. As you could probably already tell, this episode is a special one. It's something that we're trying out, something new. This is recorded really quickly. It's very timely information, so you didn't hear the music before, and this is going to be a very tight episode. So Mona, Rebecca, what are we up to today?
Well, we thought that this might be a good idea to give timely updates, but we do want to tell the listener that this is not in lieu of our usual interviews and our topics. Those will continue, our topic discussions and our interviews with the guests within the EB5 industry. This is really just a timely update that we are going to try to bring to our audience on a periodic basis, especially like right now, mm-hmm. because of the coronavirus, so many conferences and outlets are being cancelled. So you're not going to get the virus by listening to our podcast, people.
Certainly not. And people are coming to us for news as things are happening and things around the world are getting cancelled. So I'm glad that we have this to be a resource for everyone listening.
That's right. I was going to say that was one of the first topics that we wanted to discuss about all the cancellations. It seems like almost every conference, whether it's IIUSA, EB5 Investors Magazine, and so on, they all are being cancelled overseas. And it's not just because of a fear of the virus within that country, but it's just passing through airports, people are reluctant. I actually just came back from the UK this weekend, and I can tell you the plane was half, I won't even say half empty, it was quarter full. It was so bad.
Mm-hmm. And attendees, sponsors, and financial backers are also backing out, which makes it very hard for conferences to really succeed. So it's somewhat of a prudent decision with the virus, as well as a business decision that we kind of have to cancel.
Right. Well, one of the first major issues that I think we really need to discuss is the fact, how is the coronavirus actually affecting interviews and decisions at the consulate? Rebecca.
So, hi, Mark. So what we're doing, what we're seeing is that a lot of they're still taking in interviews. They're still able to have clients or investors who have interview dates come in and go through their full process. The issue is what if a client doesn't feel safe, or a lot of our clients are cautious and do not wish to travel at this time. A lot of our clients
Are these Rebecca clients who have actually got approved petitions and have gone in for the final stamp?
Yes. Okay. So they went through actual interviews. A lot of our clients, what they do is that you have a 6-month visa. So you don't have to enter the U.S. right away, right after your visa approval. So a lot of clients, you know, take their time, enter right before the visa is going to expire. And at this time, with the coronavirus happening, they're just a bit cautious. But the problem is that the consulates are not extending these visas, not for any reasons, even with the coronavirus, even if it's affecting the entire globe. You still have to travel. If not, you can go ahead and not travel within that time period, but you will have to go through the entire consulate processing over again.
Is there a reason for this? Is it because they just don't want to be inundated, or they feel like they'll bottleneck all of the applications?
I agree with you on that. There's no reason given. I think they just don't. You know, for any other purposes, if you cannot travel, this is what you have to do. You would go through another interview. So they just don't want to, you know, get bombarded with clients coming in, because you have to go into the consulate to find out what can you do. And they don't want to get bombarded with clients coming in and asking for visa extensions.
Perhaps, yes. But last week we saw, beginning of last week or the week before, I can't recall now, we actually saw a problem from the Ankara consulate, because they closed their doors completely to anybody coming in from Iran, and that caused a lot of backlog and problems for people who had actually traveled to Ankara and then just had to turn around and go back again.
Yeah, so with that though, those would be for those who actually have interviews scheduled, so that's easier. They can go ahead and reschedule their interview dates, but if you have the visa already and you haven't traveled within that time period, you will have to go through the entire process all over again. So that means new DS-260s, that means new filing fees, waiting
wow,
for interview.
Wow, complete new filing fees
exactly.
too.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's, you know, a lot of our clients don't want to go through the headache again, so are going to take the chance and go ahead and travel. But for those who really can't, that's what's going to happen.
Well, they are taking the chance, but there is a possibility also that at the border, they are being stopped from entering the United States. You have to be very careful where you're coming in from, because we are hearing this, that people are being stopped at the border and saying that, yes, you can enter the United States, but you're entering and going into quarantine for 14 days. And they're saying that prior to anybody embarking on a plane, so that it's putting a lot of applicants off.
Yeah, so for those who are traveling, you just want to adjust your travel schedule a bit more, just so that you have time, you know, in between. You're not leaving within 2 weeks, just in case you do have to get quarantined.
So there are a couple of issues which came out of the consulate these last few days. There was another major issue which happened a few days ago, and that was the fact that the consulates are changing their status online from administrative processing to the word refusal.
Yes, that has scared a lot of our clients.
Oh my God, it panicked everybody when they saw this word for a refusal jump up.
The consulates are panicking everyone, aren't they? So they're not really helping us out much. So this is, it's pretty much not nothing new. What they have done, though, is changed the wording, because it technically is a refusal.
It's a visa refusal under 221G.
Exactly.
The same as you would have for administrative processing.
Right. Yeah, so it's nothing new from the attorney side, but for the investor, it does seem scary, because you went from administrative processing to write out refusal. So there's only two outcomes when it comes to after a visa interview, right? You either get issued the visa or it's an actual refusal. So it's not like, for instance, an I-526 petition, you could get the approval right away, but you can also get a NOID or a RFE, which is a request for evidence, or a notice of intention to deny. That's not the case when it comes to consular processing. You get either issued the visa or you're straight out refused. Now, with the refusal, there are two other options as well. You're refused because, one, you need to go into administrative processing because maybe they need to check your background.
It could be for something very
simple. For something simple, right. Or two, the consular officer would like to see more documents. So as soon as you provide a bit more documents, it could easily get approved.
But one of the disadvantages of the word refusal, and this is upsetting a lot of clients, are those who have clients with a writ of mandamus pending.
Oh, yes. So that becomes an issue. So USCIS has become smart, or Department of State, in that when you have refusal now, it's an actual adjudication. So it means that the petition is actually not really pending any longer. It's actually been adjudicated. It's been refused. So that it's harder to get through with a writ of mandamus.
Well, the Supreme Court did say in that classic case, Din versus Kerry, that they only need to have the broadest citation. I mean, they can say 212A3, but I think the court might just take into account that the fact the word refusal is there, that they don't have a ground for mandamus anymore.
So, Mark, Rebecca, the other big news we want to remind our listeners, this Friday, March 13th, we are going to have, or USCIS plans to host,
its first stakeholder engagement of 2020. And this particular time, all EB5 stakeholders have been encouraged to submit questions in advance and participate in this, which means that they're probably going to open their phone lines, but in-person engagement has been cancelled for obvious reasons. So there's been a lot of humming and hawing about questions, Rebecca, right?
Oh, yeah. So a lot of things are happening. There's a lot of questions that everyone has, from attorneys to investors. So one of the questions, one of the biggest questions out there is processing times, just because we've had, the new regulations that came in with USCIS stating that they're going to change how they adjudicate processing times. So Suzanne from Lucid Text, she went ahead.
Hey, Suzanne, who has been on a podcast show.
Yes, she has. She does. She goes ahead and she does her digging. And she went into the electronic reading room on USCIS's website and pulled out some FOIAs, which are Freedom of Information Act files, that they individually recorded every single I-526 and I-829 receipt and adjudication from October to December 2018.
Well, so, very interestingly, when she brought this out on her text, she did say, buried deep in the electronic reading room where USCIS probably hoped no one would ever find them. Ha ha. I don't think USCIS also expected us to put out on a podcast the findings.
Yeah, so she did a little bit of digging, found, came up with her own discovery. days of all the processing times that were out there. If you remember back in December 2018, USCIS processing times were for I-526 petitions were 20.5 months to 26 months. For I-29 petitions was 30 to 39 months. So what they were saying, or what USCIS was saying, was that the first number that came out, 50% of the cases would be adjudicated within that time period. And then the remainder, or at least 93% of those cases, would be completed within the 20.5 months to 26 months. What was interesting is that Suzanne said she did really find that 64% of those cases were actually happening within the timetable. And she said that they realistically, it was a better report than what we actually saw from USCIS, that they were actually adjudicating these cases within the time period that they were saying. It's just that the time period has increased so much.
Right, that's true. Countrywide, the average processing time for Chinese I-526 in fiscal year 2019 has been 2 months longer than average. We're expecting to see that being longer now because of the new policy that USCIS have brought out. The average processing time for India was almost 5 months shorter than the worldwide average. That could possibly be to an influence of expedited requests. Apparently, Indians accounted for 30 of the 36 I-526 processed in 2019, quarter one, within the first 6 months of filing. But Indians accounted for the majority of the 526 filed in fiscal year 2019, of being around about 31%. China, 15%, still Chinese, even with a weight low, you're still seeing Chinese cases. Yes. Vietnam, 11%. South Korean, 6%. And the rest of the world, the rest. Mm-hmm. But the Indians filed enough 526 petitions in quarter one of last year to use up over a year and a half of the EB-5 visa quota for India. So if all of those petitions get approved, we are looking at seeing longer waiting lines, I think, in the future.
Yes, and what was actually interesting as well that Suzanne saw was that 90% of all or most countries besides China, their I-526 petitions were getting approved, whereas the approval rating for China was only at 81%.
Well, that's a drop for China. And I think a lot of that has to do with what we are going to be discussing in one of our podcasts coming up about the increased RFEs relating to some of the currency swaps, which particularly affects China.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll hopefully get some of these questions answered during that USCIS stakeholders meeting. So stay tuned, please, for those who can join in and ask as many questions as you can.
Right, and we hope to bring that again to you soon.
This has been an EB-5 special report. If you would like to hear more of these quick little special reports, feel free to let Mona and Rebecca know. Head over to their website, hit their contact information, and say, yes, I want to hear more of these very timely, quick special reports. Until then, we'll see you next Thursday.